So, have you ever been lost as a kid? Or maybe as an adult too. I was lost as a child on a number of occasions. I remember when I was 3 or 4 in a big department store, I was with our family, and I got separated from them. And I actually remember this. It's one of my earliest memories. I remember just looking around and seeing people everywhere. Of course, you're a lot shorter at that time, and my memories are such. I sat down on one of those little islands at the end of one of those long aisles with mannequins on, and I just cried. Luckily, a clerk found me, and a short time later found my family, and everybody was happy, especially me. On another occasion, my friends and I were in the woods outside my friend's house. There were about 6 of us, and we were hiking through it there. That's what the woods looked like where I grew up. Pretty dense brush and all alder trees there. And it was fall, so we lost the trail. You couldn't see it anymore. And you can imagine 6 rascals kind of talking energetically of how they all had the best idea how to get out of being lost. It was a lot of fun. Luckily, we were surrounded on roads about 2 or 3 miles either direction. So as long as we just kept walking, we eventually came out. It was a very long walk home that day. After that, we became smarter about walking in the woods. So we'd always take a machete or a hatchet, and with those alder trees, which are kind of like weeds all over, we would notch the trees. I looked for a picture, and I found one. So you can see, usually we'd just give it a little mark. We'd only mark it once. That's the only picture I could find. But that's what it would look like, and you could spot it quite a ways away. So if we marked our trail well, we could always find our way back. It's chipping of trees. The only problem was if other people marked trees too, you could get a little confused, but it was a good way to find our way out in different situations. This last one I want to talk about was something I was really thankful. When I climbed Mount St. Helens, we were above the tree lines. Well, you can't chip trees there, and so I found something else that they had. It was just large boulders and ash and like light gravel, and what they did there, they set up like small telephone poles just in your sight line. You can see how steep it is, how the rocks, it looks like a lot of fun to climb, and it's kind of hard to find a trail in that, but you can see the pole off in the distance. We can go to the next picture, Justin, and you can see as you get near the top, you just keep following the poles. So wherever they planted poles, it told us where to go, which, to be honest with you, it would look like just a huge mountain. You could go almost anywhere. It was especially helpful coming back down. But I was thankful they had a system like that there to show us the way, to mark the trail for us. Well, today at Grandview, we're going to do some tree chipping. We're going to do some pole planting as we put things in place to help us show us where to go, to help us set a course before us that'll direct us to God in the directions He'd have us take. Jesus started a journey much like this 2,000 years ago as He started His own ministry there in Nazareth. And before I get talking about it too much, where Jesus, He put down some markers what He was going to do, but a little context as we build up to this point, you can know just before this, Jesus turned 30. And he was baptized by John the Baptist. His father recognized him. And shortly after that, he went to the wilderness where Satan tempted him. So it's after those two big events had happened that he went back to Nazareth. Now, he had became rather famous with the words he said and some of the miracles he had done. So we pick up the story in Luke 4:14-16. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. You could tell there was excitement in the air as he got there. Kind of a small-town boy, he'd done well. He arrives, and he was a talk of the region as he arrived back in his hometown. Many would call him a traveling rabbi at that point, which would happen from time to time, and he was treated with respect because of that. Although he didn't have official credentials, he was obviously a great teacher. He was invited to speak at his synagogue where he grew up, and I'm sure he knew everyone in the room. He opened the scroll to what we know as chapter 61 of Isaiah, and we read these words. Verses 18 and 19 of Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And for the sake of time, I thought I'd just sum up briefly what he's saying. What he says is God's Spirit is on him. In fact, God himself sent Jesus to them and to us. God sent his Son on this day to proclaim good news to those who are lost, to proclaim freedom, not just for the prisoners, but from those of us who are sinners, to help everyone see God through his Son, Jesus Christ. God knows all too well where sin takes us, the sad place sin takes us. And Jesus on this day is letting everyone know that salvation awaits everyone through God's very own Son, Jesus Christ. The people heard the implication there that he was God's Son. And although it should have been a very exciting moment, at that time it was far from appreciated by the people that knew him best, the hometown folks, who literally tried to kill him, and he escaped out of town just in time. You see, setting a mission in place in front of people can be risky. Putting markers down saying where you're going to go, what you're going to do, means you're taking a risk, and you might take some hits. On the other hand, not putting down markers, not setting a course of action, leads nowhere except going in circles, going nowhere and not even knowing it. Today, I want to share a very simple mission statement, mission and vision statement, as a church. It's simple in that hopefully you can remember it well, but it's meaningful in that you can study it. You can actually go deeper as you look at it and consider it more and more. With all my heart, I look forward to joining you in this process. It was about 2 years ago I started thinking about this. I knew as a church we needed to go someplace together. But the Lord said, just wait. Wait, Richard, till you absorb some of this community, who they are, what they need. And it was about 4 months ago that the Lord said, now's the time. Start studying. Start thinking about it. Seek my heart. And he put this on my heart. I'll go ahead and put it up there. Go ahead. Worship, grow, live. Worship God. Know God by gathering weekly for praise, prayer, and proclamation. Grow in Christ. Together, know God's word, his grace, and his truth. And third, live by the Spirit. In God-centered community, loving, caring, sharing Jesus Christ with others. You'll notice an interesting thing as you look at it, and I actually, through prayer, thought of this, and I looked back at it, and I saw that the Trinity is a central focus for us. The very essence of God is at the core of what we're doing and where we're going. The vision is also simple and clear. We will be a church to worship, inviting others to know him deeply as we grow, transforming lives and community. We'll be a place to worship the Lord, a place to involve others, a place of transform lives and transform communities. They say if you really want to have impact, you should attach some measurement to it. That makes sense. You can measure it by the number of people attending church. You can measure it by the invitations we give out to people. You can measure it by the number of conversions, rededications, and baptisms we might do. But we should always remember, numbers are important. And they are a way to measure outward indicators. But it's our personal daily growth of our Christian walk inwardly That is the primary importance of what we do. You can't put a number to that. It's really unmeasurable. But we can see different signs of it. I wanted to think of a way to help you remember that, so I developed a logo for it, a very simple logo. We'll go ahead and put that up. Those three words, worship, grow, and live. But I also want to invite Kevin and Julie, who helped me put the new sign together, if you want to come up, if you would. You guys don't look... Yeah, that's right. You both need to come up because they've been working hard behind the scenes to put it together. And I do like the camouflage touch. So this is a new sign that's going to go there up in front of the church. Go ahead and just take it off. So you can see the name of the church and the words worship, grow, and live. That should be attached whenever we see it. Thanks, you guys. That was very good. I also wanted to stir things up a little bit more. So, I had a t-shirt made. See if we can get it over my microphone. Not quite. There. Does this help you remember it now? I don't know. You might be laughing too hard. But still, that wasn't enough. You still might not remember it. So Ryan and Mason, come on over. I needed a basketball player and a baseball player. I thought of you guys. So I'm going to stand right there. Okay, let's see. Let's have you come right here. I'm not going to put a shirt on you. You're okay. Okay, instead, Ryan, you're going to take shots that direction. When I give you a shirt, take your best basketball shot. That didn't like... What happened with a... And one for you, for this side of the room. Oh, yeah. Okay, a couple more. Now that you know, I want to see the gooseneck now, okay? what can she do? Sorry, group. You can yell at them later. Hold it. Since this side has two, let's give your best baseball shot that way. Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. So, my budget was limited, so we only had four shirts. I apologize for that. But that was fun. So, for the next 9 weeks, we're going to look at these words, these three words, and we're going to talk about what they mean. We're going to explore and discover what they mean literally. But today, I wanted to give you just a quick flyby of each category. So, worship God, gathering on Sunday to know God, know who He is, why we should honor Him, why we should fear Him, why we should praise Him. He is, after all, the God of all things. He's a creator of all. Literally, He is the God of the universe, and in Him there is no equal. In fact, He wants us, and this is pretty awesome, the God of the universe wants to talk to us daily. Ooh, Dylan reminded me, I have one more thing. So the ushers are going to hand out, I knew you're still going to struggle to remember these words, worship, grow, and live, in our vision statement. So while I'm talking, we'll let them, you can actually give two or three out to everybody. We have a lot of them. Cards are cheaper than t-shirts. I'll get back to my comments as they're doing that. So God, the God of the universe, wants to talk to us, wants us to pray to Him. When you think of that, it is pretty awesome. Even though we are all sinners, before a holy, righteous God, God is the great initiator of our reconciliation. From eternity past, God planned for His Son to save us, to reconcile us to Himself through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. So growing in Christ, together, studying God's Word, discovering His grace and His truth, reflecting that understanding on how we spend our time, how we spend our days. The Bible says, let your roots grow deep into the soil of His love. Our relationship with Christ should be a growing one, not stagnant, especially not boring. We need food and water to grow physically. And we need His Word and His Spirit to grow spiritually. Growing in Christ is also being mindful of how He created each of us uniquely for His purposes. Recognizing He's given you natural abilities, but He's also gifted you and equipped you to do His work. Growing in our understanding of how everything we have is His is another aspect. What it means for each of us as we align our hearts, as we align our priorities as His stewards to invest in His kingdom and to live by the Spirit together in a God-centered community, learning what it means to love one another, to be part of a God-honoring, Spirit-empowered community, being filled with grace as a reflection of Christ Himself in our interactions with those all around us, to take God's love and turn it to action and care for others, including those that can't care for themselves, be it people in retirement homes, be it the unborn or the less fortunate. The world is filled with endless needs. I know you know that. Just have to watch TV or check your mailbox. And we can do what we, as a community, what we can't do alone, what we can't accomplish by ourselves, we can do together. Finally, to love and serve others in the Spirit is shown by the pursuit of the Great Commission that we learned in Matthew 28, to go out and share His Word to others, to share the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ. So the mission statement is a marker. They're directional signs to help guide us together to look as we to look towards worship, grow, and live. We also want to remember where we're heading as we consider our vision. It's simple, but it takes a little more work to remember. You have the cards. You all have the cards? Hold the cards up just so I can see. Just want to make sure everyone got one. Okay. So we look to create a place to worship God, inviting others to know Him deeply as we grow, transforming lives individually, in communities. We will be a church that worships God, is growing in obedience to His Word and our relationship with Him. A place where the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, encourages us, guides us, and strengthens us. A place where true biblical community is found in church services, study, task, activity groups, and all the things we do as a church will keep a focus on God. A place where we experience God's transforming power through His Spirit in our lives. A place where the natural byproduct of God's work, God's presence in our lives, is to tell others about that personal relationship, that experience that we've had with the living God. Many years ago, the Lord encouraged Paul with a vision and a message. In that vision, God strengthened and comforted Paul as he looked to empower him to carry out what he needed him to do. Maybe it's a passage we can use for us today, to carry out a mission and vision for him. Acts 18:9-10. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, "Don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent, for I am with you." God is with us here at Grandview, looking to continue His work with our church through our lives. And I really could not be more excited to be here, to be part of it, as we look ahead to see what He's going to do through us, as we seek to worship Him, to grow in our understanding of Jesus Christ, and to live by the Spirit. Together, we'll be on a pathway to grow and understand God's great grace, His truth, and His love. So today, very briefly, we've done some tree chipping. We've done some pole planting. But these words of mission and vision are critical for all of us together to know, to understand, to follow, and even pursue. We need to look to encourage each other to remember them, to stay on the path God would have us pursue. And as the Apostle Paul told us in his second letter, may we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So join us over the next 9 weeks. As we look, we'll take each word for 3 weeks and we'll talk about it. I think it'll be very exciting. I think it'll be good for us to be on the same page as we worship, grow, and live. Join me in prayer. Lord, we are thankful for your love. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful of the ability to worship you, to grow in our understanding of Jesus Christ, who came to be a man on this earth, who died for our sins. Lord, you empower us with your Spirit. Let us feel that presence. Let us feel that presence as a community of believers here at Grandview as we look to worship, grow, and live. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.